So let's get to the Word of God here tonight. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and let's stand to our feet and let's begin reading there in verse 42. And we'll probably mainly stay there in verse 42 here tonight as we'll finish what we began this morning. Acts chapter 2 in verse, let's start reading verse 41. Then they gladly received His word and were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus tonight. We thank You, Lord, for the testimonies given. We thank You for Your goodness and, God, how You've answered prayer and how You have done above and beyond even what we can think and even know. And we're asking tonight, God, that You'd move in our hearts even tonight. Move, dear God, in such a way, Lord, that when we leave out of here, we'll be full of joy, full of zeal. God, that we'll be ready to serve You, ready to love You, ready to follow You. And God, that we'll be exactly what You'd have us to be. Father, I know tonight, God, You love us. I know that You care for us. I know You'll never leave us nor forsake us. God, You never sleep nor slumber. And tonight, Lord, we know that we can trust in You. God, You're faithful. And God, may we be as well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And so we found this morning that as the Lord has added the church, He's added the church to the church, He's added members to the church, He's added pastors to the church, and then here we find that He adds a lifestyle to the members or to the church. We find that this lifestyle is a lifestyle that is found in chapter 2, verse 42, and they continue steadfastly. We understood what that meant this morning. It means that it's one who's going to be steadfastly and continuing that will be one who perseveres, one that will be diligent, one that will attend to the great care, one that will adhere closely. You'll find that when you get saved and born again, that when the Holy Spirit of God that birthed you is the Spirit of God that birthed His Word, is the Spirit of truth. And that Spirit of truth will be drawn by both ends. The Spirit of truth that will be preached will draw unto you, and you that are filled with the Spirit of truth will be drawn unto it. And so it's a perfect match. Whenever you get saved, the church is a perfect match. It's a perfect match, I would say, made in heaven. And that match is that you will automatically and you will naturally and you will follow through. When you get born again, you'll find truth. And truth is be taught in the church that you attend. Truth that is preached in the church you attend, you will attend it. Because that's naturally. That's what you do. That's what you're drawn to, you're attracted to. And that's what you want. We found that to be true. So we find that the purpose of the church tonight is to win souls. We've talked about that. We've been through that. We understand that. We know that. We'll mention again on Wednesday night, preach on that subject once again. But tonight I want you to notice that the church is for also for the saints. The church is a place that when we get saved, that we have to have a place to come to hear the teaching and preaching of truth, the apostles' doctrine. That is something that's a need for us. That's something that Peter teaches, and in Acts chapter 20 tells us to feed the flock, to take the flock of God and to bring to them the food, the spiritual food. Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. If we're ever going to grow up, we're ever going to become mature, we're going to have to do it by faith. And the only way we get faith is by hearing God's Word. And when we hear God's Word, it builds us up and builds us up. We, as a people, need the church. It's not something of something that we can might want or that we think we can have. No, it's a great need because of truth. And we, the people of God, has a place called the church here at Glory Baptist Church. And, well, we thank God for it and how that He has put together, how He has paid for it, that we know we owe nobody anything for any of this tonight. And we have been like that for some time. And we have the privilege to have our doors open, our lights on, the heater on tonight while it's cold outside, a padded pew so there will not be no hurt on the backside. And so we find that we have great privilege and great blessing of God, but yet we come because we have a need of truth. And that's what the church's purpose is tonight, is to have a place, have a people to come and hear the truth. Secondly, this morning we talked about the fervor of fellowship. The word fellowship there, it means partnership. It means friendship. It means companionship. And if you notice in the Scripture, it says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So in other words, as much as truth is important, as much as truth is necessary, as much as truth is a feeding upon your soul, fellowship is as much as important. Partnership. Being a friendship. Amen. To having companionship with one another tonight. We got to understand and know that whenever God saves you, He calls you out from the world. He delivers you from the power of darkness and translates you into the kingdom of His dear darling Son. Colossians chapter 1 says that. And so we got to know that when we're lost without God, we are in the hands of the devil. The devil's our father. But when we get saved, God becomes our father. And He snatches us out of the grips of devil. Amen. And we find tonight that we come together in a place called church. This is why the church is here, a local church. So that we can have friendships. So that we can have partnerships. So that we can have companionships. I'll be honest with you tonight. There's no Mason out there. There's no Boy Scouts. There's no Girl Scouts. There's no other organization out there, United Way or any kind of other organization out there tonight, Red Cross, that brings in and has part of God and His blessings and God and His power when the Bible says that I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's telling me right here on earth tonight, I can have a church that I can partner up with. In other words, tonight, me and you are not opposite. We're on the same family. We're on the same army. We're in the same body. Me and you tonight are in the same marriage. You and I tonight are connected. You and I tonight have one accord and of one mind. Tonight we're together. We're going to live together and we're going to go to heaven together. Can I just say to you in the way of fellowship tonight, you need the fellowship of God and God needs the fellowship of you. We need each other. We don't have time to fight each other. We don't have time to not be friends with each other. We don't have time to not be partners with each other. If you're going to be rude, don't be rude with us. If you're going to be ugly, don't be ugly with us. If you're going to put somebody to the side or put somebody in their place, don't do it to us. If you're going to backstab and gossip and talk about somebody, don't talk about us. Amen. We're on your side. We're of one. We're together. We and you and I are fighting a spiritual battle. And you and I are facing the demons and the evil spirits of the world. You and I, friend, don't fight against flesh and blood. You and I are together. We're going to stay together. We're going to live together. We're going to go together. We're going to fight together. And we got to make it together. That's the purpose of the church. A group of people that God has saved. And that word fellowship there means common. And what you and I have common tonight is Christ, the Holy Ghost of God. And friend, we got to come together tonight and in fellowship live our lives. That's what the purpose of the church. I'm so glad that in 1988 I became part of the body of Christ. Ever since that day, I've been in partnership. Ever since that day, I've been in companionship and friendship. The greatest people I've ever known and the people who've done more for me than my own family has done, my own friends have done, my own any kind of business or any kind of help of any kind tonight has been God's people, God's church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. They are my friends and they are companions to me. And tonight, that's what the church is purposed for. Remember that. And we have that. We come together tonight. I see the ladies hugging one another. Now, guys, you don't hug the ladies. That might be somebody else's wife. You don't be hugging other people's wives. Now, they do that in the world, but we don't do that in the church. Amen? Guys, we hug or we shake hands. Guys, you shake hands with women. We find the right hand of fellowship. We find that we come together. We find when there's a need of some type, we find out when someone's hurting. We find that when somebody is going through trouble, every one of us tonight should be part of that trouble, should be part of that need, that hurt. If you've got a brother and sisters that's crying, you need to sit next to them and cry. If you've got one laughing, you just find over there and start laughing with them. Amen. We're talking about partnership. We're talking about friendship. We're talking about companionship. Listen, the Spirit of God that has put together you has put together the church. And while those two come together, there is a banding together. There should be not the devil. There should be not the world. There should be not your family member. There should be not a friend. There should be not a co-worker who ever divides your church. We're a banding together as a great army of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, if you don't want to be part of this, get out. If you want to be part of it, get in. We're not interested tonight to those who just want to show up. We're interested in those that want to show up and be part of. Now I know tonight hundreds of thousands of people out there are looking for a church just like that, that can partner up with, that can band together, that can bond together, that can bind together. Verse 44, it says, and all believed together. Together. Are we together, church? Are we taking the purpose that God has given us a church, and are we together? It says they are. The second thing I want you to notice in verse 44 says, and had all things common. That same Greek word common is the same Greek word as fellowship tonight. The same word. We find common. We have to find some things in common tonight. Now, do we have some things that are not common? Yeah, we do. We got raisings that are different. We got likes that are different. We've got interests that are different. We've got a lot of things that are different. But, friend, we can come together with common. Common in Christ. Common in souls. Common in missions. Common in worship. Common in praise. Common in living for Jesus. Common in what makes us thick as a Christian tonight. Common is the Word of God. Common in prayer. So many things can have common tonight, and that's where we come together in. We find that they're sharing. Look at verse 45. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. You know what's important about that one verse? And I know what you're probably thinking. I guess, brother, there, you want me to go sell all I have and give to the church? No, I don't want you to do any of that. If you want to sell something, that's fine. If you want to give to the church, that's fine. But I'm not telling you to do that. Neither is the Scripture. Let me tell you what the principle of the Scripture is tonight, is that we're sharing. In other words, when I come to the church, I'm not a freeloader. All right? So when I come into the church, I get saved. I come in and I'm on a partnership with you. That means that I'm going to give all what I have, and you're going to give what you have. And together, we're going to work together on whatever matter it is, whatever occasion it is. And I'm going to give my resources. You're going to give your resources. And they're going to give their resources. And nobody's lacking resources. And nobody does more than the other. It's all equally shared. It's all equally given. It's all equally done. We don't look at one part of the body and say, you know what? They don't ever do nothing. They don't ever have nothing. They don't ever bring nothing. They don't ever present nothing. And yet, they want something all the time. We're not looking for that. We're looking for somebody to come in, to get in. I'm talking about the real true church tonight. Who gets in, who wants to give part, who wants to do their part, who wants to do all they can. And friend, when there's a need in the church, when there's a suffering in the church, when there's a lacking in the church, then you're able to give. So the Bible teaches. The Bible talks about especially to the household of faith. You know the purpose of this church tonight is to take care of each other. Not to take care of the world, not to take care of the poor, not to take care of the sick, not to take care of the unfortunate. That's not our job. Our job tonight is the purpose of the church is to take care of one another. Did you know that? Verse 45 says that. Man, when the Spirit of God birthed the church, 3,000 souls were saved. All of a sudden, everything they had, that they didn't have to give it to them, but they found that there was a need. And so in order to meet that need, they sold what they had to meet that need. Did everybody sell everything? No. Some people had whatever they needed. But the fact of the matter is, wherever the need is in the church needs to meet the need. That's the whole mindset here. Now, why wouldn't you want to be part of that? That you have a church tonight, and you come to that church, and you know. You know that if you get hungry, you know your church is going to feed you. You know that you're, and I'm not saying tonight you don't go to work. If you don't go to work, the Bible says a man don't But man don't work, he don't eat. So if you don't go to work, we're going to watch you starve. Because we can't be disobedient to the word. So you got to go to work. But you're working. And you're working hard. But times have come down. And troubles have befallen you. And you don't have anything. And everything you've got is now gone to different this and that and the other. Hey, the church has slipped right on in and fill you up. Pay your bills. Turn your lights on. Run your water. Now you're working now. And you're doing all you can do. And you're doing everything you can do. Well, the church is going to help you along the way. We've done that in the past. We'll do it again in the future. Amen? That's what a church is about. That's a church tonight. A church is not a church that just lets you fall away and fall out. A church is a church that's sharing. We share our lives. We share our money. We share our time. We share our tears. We share our prayers. We're sharers. We're givers. We keep up with our own. We don't let our own just go off the side. We just let them fall out the side. We make sure that we take care of those who want to be taken care of. So we find tonight a togetherness in verse 44, a commonness in verse 44, a sharing in verse 45, a giving in verse 45. We find part of them to all men as every man had need. I'd like to be part of that church tonight. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, why? Fellowship. Fervor of fellowship. I mean, listen, friend, they were into the fellowship. Can I say second or thirdly tonight? The fervor of gathering. We see in verse 46, the Bible says that they coming together privately. It says, and they continually daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. See, they came together privately. See, our church needs to break into this. The only time we come together is at church. Why? Why? Why tonight do we not ask each other over for dinner? Why don't we call from time to time and say, hey, sister, hey, brother, let's go have lunch. Hey, how you doing? Hey, let's go and do this together. Let's do that together. I'm not talking about cliques. I'm not talking about find one or two in your church and say, I like them, I don't like them. I'm talking about tonight as a whole, as generally speaking tonight, that the church that was filled with the Spirit of God and the people who was led by the Spirit of God, they were coming together house to house. They didn't afraid nobody come to their house. They wasn't worried about somebody coming to their house. They were welcoming people to come to the house. And they were telling people to come to the house. And they come to the house, house and house. Privately, they had this gathering. This is mighty important, church. If we're really going to be what God would have us to be, and the church is this tonight, and then outside the church, we're going to become friends. We're going to become companions. Amen? We got to do better with that, don't you think? I think one area in our church tonight that we probably failed in is house to house. I don't know why. I don't have no idea. One of the things that we did from house to house is having Bible studies. I'd like to start that up this year. On Friday nights, we used to have Bible studies. We come together. Of course, we eat. We can't not eat. So we eat, and sometimes we ate little, sometimes we ate much. It kind of depends on the preparer, right? So we come, we snack a little bit here and there, and then we sit around, and we kind of just informally just have a Bible study. Just sit around talking about God's Word from house to house. Would y'all consider that this next year? I believe tonight it is strengthening our church. I think tonight it will bond us together closely. We'll get to know. You know what happens tonight when you start asking people over or you start asking people out to dinner and you ask people out to lunch? You'll find that you begin to learn them a little better. You might have a perspective of them. You might look at them from a distance tonight, from one pew on the west to the pew on the east. This be the south. This be the south. This be the north. So you have the north side. You have the south side. And so you're looking from that that vision there. But when you really get to know them, you really get to talk to them, you really get to have an insight of their lives, that might be pretty nice. They might be, you know, pretty good. They might want to be a friend forever. Best friends forever. BFF or something like that. We find together, coming together privately. I noticed in verse 46, talking about the fervor of gathering. And when I'm saying this tonight, this church that was filled with God's Spirit and these people who are led by God's Spirit, they like gatherings. They like gatherings that were profitable about them. So they gathered privately, but I noticed they gathered pleasurably. There's something about that tonight. Look at verse 46, it says, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. So when they come together, there was a pleasurableness about it. I mean, we enjoy being with each other. We enjoy, like last night, man, I tell you, I think that was a great start of 2019 that I believe God is just going to bless tonight, and I believe that with all my heart. And so if I'm a lot of laughing last night, it done us good. We kind of set aside, you didn't like somebody the way they part their hair. It kind of didn't matter yesterday. You know, somebody had them glasses that they had them for a long time, and you wish they'd get new glasses, but they don't get new glasses. They got a bunch of money, but they still don't want to pay any money, and you can't figure out, why don't you get those glasses? They're ugly. You know, last night it didn't matter. I mean, we was laughing, we was talking, we was watching, we was pointing, we was doing all kind of stuff. We kind of let your hair down last night, it was. And man, it just felt good. We finally enjoyed one another for a minute. Pleasurably. We don't always have to be just a serious matter. We can have some fun time. But just be gathered with each other. I'll be honest with you tonight, I don't ever gather with lost people. Ever. I don't go out to eat with them. I don't go to their house. They don't ask me. I don't ask them. If I'm going to gather with somebody, I need to gather with the church tonight. That's my kind. You say, brother, how are you going to reach them if you don't gather them? Well, I'm going to reach them out there. But that don't mean I have to go hook up with them at their house. Now, if I go hook up with somebody's house, it's for the purpose of telling them about Christ. But not sit around watching the Texan game, eating popcorn, and they're drinking their beer, and I'm drinking my water. That ain't going to happen. Amen? And so we find tonight that there is a coming together pleasurably, a sincere heart. That's what that means tonight. If you what that singleness of heart means, it means a sincere heart. It's a pure heart. It's a satisfied heart. It's a thankful heart. That's what that means tonight when it talks about a singleness of heart that came together gladness. It was sincere. It wasn't fake. It was pure tonight. It was very thankful tonight. Big, full of gratitude that I can eat with you, or I can have time with you, or that I could spend some quality time with you. It might have been 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 18 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, whatever the time was. It was just good. And I'm sincere with that. It's one thing to be fake tonight. Don't want to be fake. I don't want to be around those that are fake. So we find a coming together privately, a coming together pleasurably. I see we're coming together publicly. The Bible says here in this verse, that verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple. So they went to church on a daily basis. So they came together publicly. And the reason why they did that is because that's what they desire to do. It describes their desire. See, when you do something daily, there's a desire in that. Because, you know, the bottom line with us tonight is you do what you want. But people say, well, I didn't have time. Oh, yeah, you made time for everything else, but you didn't make time for that because you didn't desire that. We're not dumb. I mean, sometimes they think, I mean, I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. I mean, I'm telling you tonight, you do exactly what you want to do. And there ain't no two ways about that tonight. And so to make excuse or to say I can't or say I won't and all this kind of stuff, we just got to come to the conclusion, friend, that is it our desire that we meet publicly, that you come together publicly? If the answer is yes, I promise you, you'll make it happen. That's how it works. Just how it works. So we find it's a desire We find not only second is it a desire for these people to meet daily or gather together publicly. Daily means it describes a devotion. See, daily they went to the temple. They publicly met together because it was a devotion for them. It wasn't a game. It wasn't play. It was a devotion. I'm going to go to the house of God, and I'm going to gather with the people of God, and we're going to praise the name of God, and we're going to lift up the Son of God as we hear the Word of God, and we're going to allow the Spirit of God to make what God will have it of us. See, it's a devotion. I know it's not a desire and devotion, but I know it's thirdly tonight that daily meant it describes a delight. I'm going to tell you something tonight. You're not going to do something daily that you don't like. You're going to finally change that because we are people of delight. We're people who like things to go smooth. We're a people of least resistance, right? How many people here like to suffer? How many people here like pain? How many people here like argument? How many people here like friction and contention? How many people want to go home tonight and argue with your wife? How many want to get up in the morning and say, "Hey, I'm here, let's battle again"? How many wanted to have to tell your children and to do this and to do that? We are living peace tonight and rest tonight. You want to love one another, care for one another. Yes, you got to stand up, and yes, you got to say what's true, and yes, you got to live accordingly to righteousness and holiness. Oh, but yet we can live tonight in a peaceful way. God, help us tonight as a church to know our purpose, that this can be a safe haven. This could be a place of protection. A place that for the community of Stafford, the city of Stafford tonight, of all places tonight, they can know that this house here is a house that will bring a comfort and bring a joy and bring a gathering to people who are real and genuine. God help us tonight. Oh, to come together publicly and to come together privately, to come together pleasurably. See, this is a daily lifestyle. This is the way they live daily. This is the way you should live daily, with desire and delight and daily. See, this was added to their life. They don't know anything about this. All of a sudden, the Lord added this to them, just like He added it to us. What an addition. What a purpose for the church. What a place of heaven on earth. Did you ever think about that? Church is a place near to heaven. Let's go to verse 42 in the fervor of praying. The Bible says, and in prayers. That fervor now, remember what that meant. That fervor would mean tonight to be persevering, to be diligent, to attend with care, and to adhere closely. Prayers. The church that began with the Spirit of God and who filled the people with the Spirit of God was a people of prayer. The Bible says that they continued steadfastly in prayers. In prayers. Plural. Not just one prayer, but prayers. In other words, in the way of prayers, what I'm talking about tonight, there was a prayer meeting. You see, the people continued in prayer meetings. When there was a prayer meeting, they attended the prayer meeting. When there was time to pray, they came to the time of prayer. See, the church that is started by the Spirit, who's guided by the Spirit, will be a church that is in prayer. Prayer. And so we find tonight that this church here, this first church, the Church of Jerusalem, the church that has the purpose as we have tonight, is a place of prayer. Did not Jesus say that? My house is a house of prayer. You have made it a den of thieves. And so we find tonight it has not changed. This is a house of prayer. You should come to pray. A place to pray. It's a prayer publicly. You should pray publicly in your house. Every one of us tonight should pray publicly in the house of God. Pray publicly. It's a place of prayers. There should be prayers offered. Every single member, every single one coming should pray prayers. There's a time of prayers, there could be a prayer meeting for women, a prayer meeting for men, and each one of those we're praying. You know why many times those kind of prayer meetings just kind of go off? Two reasons. Number one, the people in there don't pray. And only one person always prays. So you say, I mean, it's always the same prayer, it's always the same people, it's always the same one. So I'm just not going to go to that no more. Or the people who are in there, they just don't pray. They just come and don't pray. Tonight, if you would have a prayer meeting and you come into the prayer meeting, you pray. You say, well, I don't know how to pray. There's no better to pray than in the house of your friends. Right? I mean, if me and you are in partnership, we're in companionship, you're my friend, I'm your friend, we're the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, man, I'm not going to make fun of you, I'm not going to tell you, hey, that was a horrible prayer. That I have never heard such so awfulness in my life. Next time you pray, I'm leaving the room. It hurt my ears. We don't talk like that. So we have a women's prayer meeting, we have a men's prayer meeting, everybody in the prayer meeting is praying, and everybody in the church comes to it. You talk about a moving of God. You talk about a stirring of God. You talk about how do I get this fire. I'm telling you tonight, you pray it down. You don't show up, you can't get it down. It's just going to go down. Amen? And while you're trying to get the fire from heaven to come down here, the church just goes out there and becomes nothing because the people are not praying. Church of Jerusalem, the first church that was started by the Holy Ghost of God, led by the Holy Ghost of God, prayed. They prayed publicly. They prayed. Tonight there was prayers. They prayed privately. They prayed privately. They prayed in their own homes. The husbands led in prayer. The husbands wasn't there. The wives led in prayer. They prayed. They prayed in church. They prayed at home. They prayed wherever they were at. They prayed. That's what it was. The Bible says they were continued steadfastly in prayers. They were prayer warriors. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. And Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Tonight I would suggest you get a prayer partner. John and Peter had partners. They went together to pray. Won't you find a prayer partner? Won't you tell somebody in church tonight, say, hey, listen, I'm going to come early on Wednesday. I'm going to come early or I'm going to stay late on Wednesday. Would you pray with me as a prayer partner? Hey, at home, when I'm praying, will you pray with me at home? Hey, we come to church. Let's come a little early. We can go off into one of these Sunday school rooms, one of these offices or in the nursery or someplace, and we can just get a hold of God, me and you. Prayer partners. Do you have a prayer partner? Do you have somebody you pray with? Do you have somebody concerned about you? Have you offered somebody to be your prayer partner? John had one. That's the church of the first church. They had prayer partners. How come we don't have prayer partners? I mean, we want to reach the world. We want to win souls. But there's another purpose in here for this church, too, that I think we're not taking advantage of. Oh, God, help us tonight. Help us to take the full church as you have made it and built it and take advantage of it. We find that there's a time of prayer. There's a place of prayer. There's a people of prayer right here with them. We can go through the scripture in Acts chapter 1. Go with me. Verse 14 says, these all continued one accord. It's talking about the 120. These all continued with one accord in prayer. So Jesus said, you go back up to Jerusalem, you go back up there and you wait to the upper room and you wait. And sure enough they did it. While they're waiting, what are they doing? They're praying. All of them are praying. A prayer meeting going on. We find prayer. We find, look in Acts chapter 6 and verse 4. Apostles are speaking here concerning some issues that took place in chapter 6, verse 1. Verse 4, he says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That's what we're going to pray. because this is mightily important. Now, these ministration to these widows, they are important too. And we're going to choose out seven men in order for them to take care of that business, because that business is important. But our more important business is prayer. Praying. Prayer. Look at chapter 10 and verse 6. That's not it. Chapter 12, here tonight, verse 5, says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Prayer. That was their go-to. That wasn't their last choice. That was their first choice. We find here, lastly, the last favor that I know. Notice is a favor of truth. And what will truth do in Acts chapter 2? Look at verse 47. It says, praising God, having favor with all the people. The Bible says, in other words, we're having favor with God. Whenever you can praise God, it's because you got favor with God. Worshiping God. So we find tonight that praising God is not unusual. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 13, the heavenly host was praising God. In Luke chapter 2 verse 20, the shepherds were praising God. Acts chapter 2 verse 47, the church is praising God. Tonight, it's not very unusual for people of God who love the Lord to worship Him. That's what the purpose of the church tonight. Come and worship Him. Be thankful. Be joyful. Be hopeful. Worship. Worship the Lord. Not should we be favored with God, but there's favor with man, with all people. Verse 47, the Bible says, having favor with all people. Now, I will tell you something tonight. This world could see the real church out of Acts chapter 2 represented in Glory Baptist Church. And tonight, as we go home in just a minute, we go to work tomorrow, and we put in practice what we heard tonight, you're going to find that the people are going to notice that you're humble. You have favor with men. They don't have to agree with you. They don't have to tell you that you're right. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a humility about you that they can't resist. There's an humbleness about you that they can't ignore. Amen? I'm talking about the real true church. That's why they have favor with men. Because there was a humility about them. There was a humbleness about them that whenever you talked to them and whenever you spoke to them, they had an humble heart, an humble spirit. They were lowly like Christ. They were ones who didn't create problems or one who didn't cause difficulty. They were ones who were just full of humility. That's the church tonight. That's how they had favor with man. Not only did they have an humble spirit, but they had an honest soul. Listen, tonight, it don't cost you nothing to be honest. But if you become honest, you become the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're honest about every single aspect of life. You have favor with man. There may be somebody who don't believe your theology. They don't believe in your Christ. They're atheists. They're whatever they are tonight. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. They'll have favor with you because you're honest. Is that true? You're humble and you're honest. You're going to stick out like a sore thumb. The third thing I noticed what happened to this church because they had is that they were happy. They were humble. If you go back through the, and I'm not going to have time to do that, but I'll show you where they were humble. I'll show you where they were honest, and I'll show you where they were happy. They were happy people. The people of this day who are to be the happiest people are the people of God and the house of God. We leave out here in just a minute. We are walk out here with a smile on our face. And joy in our heart. And we are to be seen and have favor with all men because they say to us, it don't matter what he goes through. It don't matter what difficulty he's in. He's happy. He's humble. And he's honest. That's the church. That's the purpose of the church.
That's how we're going to win them. But if we go out and our spirit is proudful, if we go out and we're dishonest, and we go out and we're sad, we're not winning nobody. We're just like them. Help our church tonight, Lord. I can say to you tonight that if you study the Word of God and you go through the Word of God, you're going to know tonight that it isn't the world tonight that's our enemies. Do you know that? If you study the Bible, you go through with Jesus and what Peter and Paul and everybody who were persecuting them, do you think it was the world? It wasn't the Romans. The Romans was trying to get out of it. The Romans were saying, my hands are clean of this innocent man. I'm backing out of it. And they say, oh, no. Crucify him. Can I tell you the problem tonight against the church is not the world. And that's who we're going to reach. So our enemy's not the world. I tell you, there's three people that are troubles for us. Atheism. They hate God. That's our enemy. Number two, liberalism. Liberalism. If you don't know what liberalism is, look it up. It's an enemy. They hate the Bible. Liberalism is those who want to put abortion to kill more babies. Liberalism is ones who want to do same-sex marriage. Liberalism is those tonight who wants to hush the Christian. And they want to get rid of our Bible. Liberalism. That's our enemies. They hate the Bible. Atheism. They hate God. The third portion of people that are our problem are the religion. Religionism or religionist. They hate Christ. The religion. And tonight, those are the ones that we have to deal with. Those are the ones tonight that are going to come up against us. But not the world we're supposed to go reach. Majority of world today are not atheist, they're not liberal, and they're not what we think of religionists tonight. They are people that need Christ. We need to get our church into its purpose so that they can come to a church that's just like Christ.